This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد. Once again everyone, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we remind ourselves of something about our messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what I want to share with you is one of the earliest revelations that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Surah Al-Qalam. It's one of the earliest surahs that were given to him. And this was at a time where people didn't quite know how to respond to the fact that he was claiming all of a sudden to be a messenger. So let's put that in perspective a little bit before we understand the lesson from these ayat and how we can learn something about our Prophet and also about ourselves through these ayat. The first thing is that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was living in Mecca among these people, was doing business with them. Everybody knew him. He's from a known family, so he's not just somebody that's not known. And you know, if you know someone for your entire life, and he's 40 years of age by now, and he's got family relations with a number of them, and he's neighbors with a number of them, his business partner with a number of them, and all of a sudden he claims that an angel came to him and spoke to him and gave him the mission of delivering Allah's word. So the words that are coming out of his mouth are actually not his own, they're actually words of God. And so questioning those words is actually not just questioning him, it's questioning God himself. Right? And not only must this be believed, that if you know, first of all, this claim has to be accepted, but not only if you don't accept it, you're going to be considered a disbeliever and you're going to be doomed. Right? So all this is a pretty tall claim. And it's not an easy thing to just accept for somebody who you've known your entire life, your neighbor, your friend, you know, your nephew, and he's these things tell so many people. And he comes and makes this claim. And so there are different kinds of reactions. And of course, he was a respected person in society. He wasn't someone that people looked down on. As a matter of fact, the common label for him, the nicknames for him were As-Sadiq wal-Amin, which is not common. This is, oh, the honest one is here. Or the trustworthy one is here. These are not things you commonly hear about a person unless they've earned that reputation by the way they carry themselves, by the way they do business, right? So this is something that he is known for. And now, because he has that high reputation and high dignity in the eyes of people, when he makes this claim that seems to be so hard to believe, the first reaction you get from a lot of people, not because they're evil people, but because they're trying to wrap their heads around it, is, poor man, something must have happened to him, and he probably lost his mind, that's why he's saying these things. So you know, later on, they tried to come up with other allegations against the Prophet ﷺ, like he's a poet, or that he is getting this from somebody else, or he's, you know, he's plagiarizing it from the Bible and from other people, you know, tumla alayhi, it's dictated to him and he comes and reads it. Those were later allegations when people started questioning his intentions. But one of the earliest ways to explain what he's saying is that he's just lost his mind, or he's possessed by a jinn. Back in the day, they didn't say that he's got, you know, some kind of psychopathic disorder. They would say he's possessed by a jinn, majnoon. Allah Azza wa Jal tells his, and by the way, in abnormal psychology, you learn something strange. You learn that if everybody thinks you're crazy, you're the only one who thinks you're not crazy, everybody else thinks you're crazy, chances are you're probably what? You're probably crazy. They can't all be crazy, must be you. So the way that, you know, when I used to study abnormal psych, they would describe, if you're driving the wrong way on the highway, and everybody's saying, go this way, go this way, go this way, they're probably right, you're probably wrong. So Rasulullah ﷺ is being accused of being insane from every angle, from every side. And so Allah Azza wa Jal himself consoles him and says, Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun, ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnun. Allah says, Noon, I swear by the pen and everything that they document, everything that they write, which inshallah in some tafsir session I'll explain how profound that statement is, but I'll get to the part that I want to share with you for these brief minutes. And that is, by Allah's special blessing alone, you are not insane at all. Allah confirms for him that he's not insane at all. While everybody else around him, they have the exact opposite verdict. Now before we go any further, this is important to understand. When you stick by what Allah wants, when you hold on to what Allah wants, it's very possible that everybody around you will think you're crazy. Everybody around you will say, why don't you use common sense? Why are you being so insane? Why can't you just be more logical? Why can't you be just like everybody else? Why do you have to be so different? Those are the words you're going to hear when you stick with the word of Allah. And the only one who can give you confirmation that in fact, even if everybody else is calling you insane, you're not insane at all, is Allah Himself, His word itself. And that started with the consolation, the comfort that Allah gave to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Allah told him, it doesn't matter what anybody else says, I'm telling you, you're not insane at all. مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ. You know what's insane here, and I use the word, you know, as a play on words. What is insane is back then people didn't believe in Allah, or they didn't believe in the Quran. They didn't believe that the Prophet is a messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what he was calling for, they called it insane. But today we're in a different situation. Today you have Muslims calling other Muslims insane if they try to follow the word of Allah. So you have people in your own family. You have people in your own society that say, hey, wait, you're not going to get involved in interest? You're not going to have the wedding ceremony the way everybody else had the wedding ceremony? What's okay with having a little fun? It's just a little bit of shamelessness, but that's okay. That should be acceptable. Why are you being so insane? We're just trying to have a good time. Or there are going to be ways of making money. Everybody else is doing it. It's not 100% haram. It's only like 50% haram. You can just give that in donations. But why are you missing out? Everybody else is getting involved in this business. Your brother's doing so much better. He already bought a house. You're still living in an apartment. Get with everybody else. Why are you being so insane? These words are not coming from some non-believer. Now this kind of advice comes from believers. And this is the first thing that I wanted to take away here, that comfort in those kinds of situations can only come from Allah. مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. Think about that. At this point, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was starting to lose all of the social, you know, capital, if you will, that he built over the years. He has a reputation, he's a respected businessman, people do dealings with him, people prefer to bring him in negotiations when they have a dispute because he's the most sane among them. This is before he's a prophet. But the moment he claims that he's a prophet of Allah and a messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now, well, he's kind of crazy, so I don't know if we should invite him. And I don't know if I can do business with him. And so people are starting to cut themselves off from the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all the comforts and good that may have been established in his life is starting to disappear. And Allah says, you have a reward that has no stopping. It's a continuous, non-stop reward. Of course, Allah is talking about reward in this life or in the next life. He's talking about the next life. And he's contrasting it with how all the good things that were happening in this life, in the worldly sense, are starting to disappear. As a matter of fact, every day that passes by in this stage of the Prophet's life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his life gets harder and harder and harder. As a matter of fact, the hardest part of his life, in many cases, is his own family. There are uncles of his that are becoming enemies worse and worse and worse by the day. People are becoming more and more aggressive by the day. Insults are getting harsher by the day. And eventually they're going to start turning physical. And then it's going to be a point where they're even ready to kill him. This is how his situation is getting worse and worse and worse and worse by the day. And Allah says, but for you, there's a reward that is never going to stop. إِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. And then, this is the part that I really wanted to emphasize today. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And you are committed to an incredible character. The Arabic word for character or ethics is khuluq, which comes from the Arabic word khalq. Khalq in Quran, خَلْقُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ or خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, to create or creation. But خَلْق actually means when you create something or design something perfectly. When something is evened out or balanced, it's called خَلْق. So they would say, for example, خَلَقَ الْبِئْرَ. بِئْر is when they dig a well and it's perfectly round and they dug it precisely, exactly the length it was supposed to be. That's actually called the خَلْق of a well. So exact design is actually called خَلْق. And in terms of human character, when someone behaves exactly as they're supposed to, and they stick to principles, to help you visualize that, if a person's personality was like a building, there are some pillars that never move. Everything else in the building you can change. You can move, you can actually deconstruct a window, move the window over there. You can put a new door on this wall. You can redesign some things. But the pillars have to be in place, because if you mess with the pillars, the building collapses. So those things that are there, that are part of your being, that cannot move, like in the physical body, like our spine, you know, people can lose different parts of their body, they can't lose their spine, you know, that's a constant. So there are some principles in life that Allah gave human beings even before revelation that are constants. And that's what Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ. You are committed to some constant values that are always there and you never compromise them. Truth, honesty, integrity, mercy, patience, care. There are some things that Allah gave all human beings. We all know that those are important values, right? And the Messenger was given those two, a sense of justice, fairness, and you never budge from those. We're learning something here, that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is being told, listen, if you just compromise a little bit, I know you have this Quran and you want us to change and you don't want us doing business a certain way. You know, early on when Islam came, Quran wasn't even telling people to eat zabiha meat. The Quran was not telling women to wear hijab. The Quran was not telling people to pray five times a day. Those are all later. That happened many years later. What is the Quran asking people to do in the beginning? It's an important question, right? The Quran in the beginning is asking people not to cheat other people in business, to be honest and truthful in their dealings, to not take advantage of those that can't defend themselves, like the orphans or the poor. Justice, basically. The Quran is calling for justice, like وَيْلُ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. And the Quran is saying you shouldn't insult people or hurt other people with your words. That was the call of the Quran. Meaning, you can put it in easy terms, universal values. Universal values. And the Prophet ﷺ, no matter how hard they made his life, will not move, budge from those universal values. We learn something from the Prophet ﷺ that we, you know, in his entire, before he became a messenger, those 40 years are really important because of this ayah. When Allah says, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, you're committed to a great character, that character did not come at the age of 40. That was already been established for 40 years, you understand? That's something they're witness to. So what is happening in those 40 years? He's still living in one of the most corrupt societies in the world, isn't it? Aren't those people cheating each other in business? Aren't they the ones that are treating each, you know, they have slaves, they have a class society, they consider women nothing, they bury baby daughters, they have all kinds of social evils. And in the middle of that lives our Prophet ﷺ. Is he different from everybody else or no? Yeah. And when you're the only one who's not corrupt in a society where everybody else is corrupt, you know what you hear all the time? You know, I understand that lying is a bad thing, but you have to live in this world, don't you? So sometimes you should be able to, you know, we understand that you want to commit to the truth, but you know, in order to survive, everybody's doing it, so just a little bit is okay. Sometimes you just have to get with the program, you know. And we all know your intentions are not bad. You can just lie a little sometimes. You can cheat a little sometimes. Look, everybody does it. If you don't do it, you're going to get left behind. You know, you're going to lose out. You know, nowadays you'll be told, man, you just lie a little bit on your taxes, it's okay. Or, you know, when students, for example, they have an exam and, you know, or they have a paper due, just a little bit of plagiarism, nobody's going to find out. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Everybody does it. So long as you can change a few words here and there, the algorithm won't catch it and you'll get a good grade. You're good to go. Don't worry about it. So we try to circumvent the truth. I remember a long time ago when I used to be in the 1800s, when I used to be in the MSA, the Muslim Students Association used to get a budget from the university. Right? When they got this budget to do their activities, we had a very small budget and we couldn't do enough activities. So you have to prove that you have high expenses, so they increase your budget. Right? So some of the members of the Muslim Student Association said, we should make higher amount invoices and submit them so they'll give us more money so we can do da'wah activities. And I said, wait, hold on a second. Hold on a second. You know, because this is going to be used, we're going to buy copies of Quran with the extra money, or we're going to, you know, get some musallas. Those musallas you buy and those copies of Quran you will buy, those things are not worth the violation of Allah's word. Principles that we cannot move from. The point the Prophet's being told, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that you remain committed to your character, to the truth, to fairness, to justice, no matter how hard things get. That's what's amazing about you. Now what happens in this life, in reality, you know what happens? People say if you do that, nobody will remember you. You won't get ahead. Because if you want to get ahead, you got to learn to play the game. Isn't that what politicians have to do? They can give speeches about honesty and fairness and justice and no compromise, but the moment they want to get into power, don't they start making deals? Don't they start compromising? Because that's the only way you can get ahead. You know, some people, they apply for jobs and they're like, man, I only have 1 year experience. I can't get a job like this. I have to make, just turn one into five. It's okay. Just make up a few companies. You know, put my uncle's name as a reference and keep changing his name. You know? And it's okay, nobody's going to find out. But no, if I don't do that, I won't be able to get a job and make halal money. So it's okay, I can do that. I can compromise these principles just a little bit, and that should be all right. So the point is, when people say they can't, if they compromise on their principles, they'll be forgotten. What does Allah say? Allah says, فَسَتُبْصِرُ وَيُبْصِرُونَ. You will see soon, and they will see soon. بِأَيِّكُمُ الْمَفْتُونَ. Who was actually put into a test? Who was actually put into the test? How many thousands of years have gone by? And the people who thought that they were winning when the Prophet ﷺ was committed to his principles, they're forgotten in history. And his principles and the way he committed himself to the truth changed the map of this planet. The fact that we're talking about him right now, sitting in the United States, and around the globe, people are reciting the word that was revealed to him, is because he was committed to principles. He left a mark on this world. He's not the one that got left behind. Everything else got left behind. You understand? And that's what we have to understand about our life. What we have to understand is khuluq. You know, the last thing I share with you, I know I'm taking a little extra time today, but this is important, this last comment. What was the first proof? The first proof that the Quran is true. You know, nowadays people try to prove that the Quran is true by saying the Quran has miracles in it. Let me show you the miracles of the Quran. Let me show you the remarkable scientific facts in the Quran. Let me show you how remarkably it's memorized around the world. Let me show you these amazing things about the Quran, and I'll prove to you that the Quran is the word of Allah. But ask yourself this question. The first audience of the Quran, who only heard a few ayat, they don't have the whole Quran, they only heard a few ayat. What is Allah's proof to them? The Quran is the word of Allah. You know what it is? It's the character and the principles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before anything else, the way that man carries himself is proof that this cannot be a lie. The character of a believer actually is the first proof of Islam before any literature, before any evidence, before any philosophical arguments or scientific arguments or linguistic arguments. All of that is secondary, tertiary. The way a believer lives his life or her life, the way we stick by our principles, that becomes proof of something powerful. Then when we speak from a place of credibility, it actually means something. Today, so many people are interested in da'wah. I want to do da'wah. I want to preach the message of Islam. I want to tell me what I can say to them or them or them or them. Before we do da'wah, we have to be in a place of credibility. The Prophet ﷺ stood for 40 years in a place of credibility. Khuluq azim, what the Quran calls khuluq azim, which is proof he cannot be insane, which is proof that the word is actually the word of Allah himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first proof. And so I ask myself and I ask all of you, when people see us, when people around us deal with us, when people do business with Muslims, professors have Muslim college students. I know I'm taking long, I promise 3 minutes and I'm done. Listen to this, I used to teach Arabic at a university, non-Muslim school. And I had 20 students, 18 of them were non-Muslims, 2 Muslims. One of them, the only one student I ever failed was a Muslim. Only one I ever failed. Would not do any homework, would not hand any assignments in, bombed the exam, the whole 9 yards, complete. And I gave him an F. And he came to me after. Why'd you fail me? I said, because you didn't do any work. He said, but I'm Muslim. you mean like I should do shafa'a for you? Like, you know, like... This is because you're Muslim, you're supposed to. Why? Because we feel that we don't have to abide by principles. We don't have to abide by our character. What kind of teacher would I be? And what kind of student are you thinking that this is a way to get ahead in life? You know? If we don't become people of character and principles, then forget about preaching the message of Islam. As a matter of fact, then we have to be afraid of something else. And I leave you with this. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. If you turn your back, and I add here, if you turn your backs from the principles of this revelation, then Allah will replace you with a people that are not like you. يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ. Allah's words. He will replace you from people other than yourselves. And they will not be like you. They will be nothing like you. We are not indispensable to Allah. We're replaceable. The only thing indispensable in this world are principles. So you and I have to really ask ourselves, how much worth is it to lie? How much worth is it to cheat? What is it worth for us to live a deceptive life? What is it worth? And what is it that if we go through some of these pains, because the Prophet went through pain, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his life got harder and harder when he stuck to principles. So I'm not suggesting when you stick to principles, your life will become easier. It will get harder, that's the guarantee. But is it worth it? Yes, it's worth anything else. That is what we pay, that's the price a believer has to pay for actually believing in this revelation. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us sincere believers in His revelation, and may Allah Azza wa Jal increase us in our appreciation and our loyalty to our profound messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ni wa iyaakum al-ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim.